Christmas Eve, 8-minute sermon.
13. 13. Not my fault you were eating chicken wings in the back.
I had...
Sorry, I interrupted.
My hands were coated in wing
lunchtime
sauce.
For you.
Wait a minute,
I was
what?
Yeah,
this is Christmas
wings.
Eve?
Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
You're backstage.
Just so the people know, while I'm out sweating and preaching, the band is backstage slugging food.
I thought I had 20 minutes. So I'm just inhaling a plate of chicken wings. And Nate runs back and he's like, he's praying. And I was like, ha ha. No, I still felt like I had chicken in my teeth. Like I was like, there has to be like sauce like on my face or something.
Our goal on this podcast is to know Jesus better and by the power of his spirit do better so together we can be a little better. Well, hello and welcome to A Little Better. So glad to have you here for week one of a brand new series on the book of Ruth. Drew, great to have you back. I hope you enjoyed your time away. We're thrilled to have you. Did a great job kicking off this series. We've got Brittany McCracken here in the studio as well. First timer. We're looking forward to hearing from her. But first, let's get people caught up. Sermon in 60.
All right. Well, we started the book of Ruth. We looked at chapter one and really the hardship and pain that Naomi and Ruth had to walk through. We see Ruth's commitment to her mother-in-law, putting her life on hold to really be a good friend to her. And so we talked a little bit about friendship, what a good friend is, and how we can navigate hurt or help someone who is hurting. And we gave pieces of advice for both categories that we see from Ruth and Naomi.
Mm-hmm. So, Brett, I'll give you time to think about this question while I ask Drew what he left on the table. 25 minutes flies by so fast. So usually there's other things that, you know, could have been squeezed in. So, Brett, I'll ask you, too, what you wished he'd addressed. But, Drew, did you leave anything on the table or did you get it all out there, everything that could be said about Ruth and Naomi?
Yeah, I don't know if I could ever say it. Yeah, I got everything out on the table. there is a timer, no matter, you know, what you're talking about. And so I think the biggest thing is, obviously, you're covering a chapter of a story, and so we didn't get to cover all the text, see some of the nuances and the details of the text. So we tried to hit the major points of each moment in their beginning of their story. So I would say I would have loved to been able to just kind of walk a little more detailed through chapter one and hit some of the highlights that we missed. That would be probably one of the areas that I think I left it.
Visiting scholar Brittany McCracken's willing to fill those in for us.
No, I know. I'm not a scholar.
Me neither. So congratulations.
I don't think I feel like it was a great sermon, and I took away a lot from it. I think like one of the challenging parts when you're talking about suffering is talking about redemption and like what does that realistically look like? Mm-hmm. And it's not going to look like what you necessarily want. Your outcome is not going to look like what you imagine the best outcome to be. Mm-hmm. So like how do we still find some joy in the suffering and not knowing when it's going to end. You might be in chapter one, but also you might be in chapter one for like a long time. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think it's a tough topic because like, look at John the Baptist, look at Jesus and like people waiting for breakthrough and they didn't have a happy ending yet. It was like the breakthrough we needed. Yeah. I don't know if that's total derailment off of the
topic.
I think
that's why I like this sermon is we didn't get to the breakthrough, right? So we're not rushing, you know, it's hard to talk about suffering and like just leave it at suffering.
Yeah.
But that's life. You know what I mean? That is like, we all want breakthrough, but breakthrough, you know, who knows? This might be only chapter one. Ruth had four, or Naomi had four chapters. We might have 12. We might have, you know, we're not promised.
Two.
And the redemption, we don't know what it will look like. So I think that's one of the things I like about the start of Ruth is we're going to start in the lament. We're going to start in the suffering because that is a beautiful picture of, it's not a beautiful picture, it's an ugly picture of what our lives often look like.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think it's a good point where we have to remember the characters in the story don't know how it's going to turn out either.
Right.
But we read it and we see, oh, here's that story. And it's like, oh, this is going to happen to me. Well, they didn't know what was going to happen to them. You don't know what's going to happen to us. You know, we don't know what's going to happen to us. But there are certain things we can have confidence about, right? That God
will finish what he started.
Yep.
You know, so it's we don't know what the end is going to look like, how we're going to get there, but it's
well, and it takes us 4 weeks to go through four chapters that represent not 4 weeks in life. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think that's the hard part about the Bible is you read the story and it finishes so fast because you read the, you know, four pages and you're like, wow, this story's already over. Mm-hmm. But that's someone's life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. That's, you know, they, you know, next week we'll talk about them threshing wheat in the field, picking up scraps. Like the Bible doesn't say, oh, and they did that for 40 days and, you know, no, this could have been an extended period of just hardship and time. We don't know.
Mm-hmm. Right. And like, it's been 10 years that they're in wherever they are. You can tell me. Moab. And like, she doesn't have any kids. Ruth doesn't have any kids at the end of that. And that's just like one verse. It's like, after 10 years, the two husbands die.
Oh, yeah.
So like, there's probably so much like hurt and pain that's already been going on in that story that's just kind of blown over as well. It's just one verse.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. I'm going to throw a crazy curveball Brit's way.
Curveball.
Perfect.
Which is, no, I love, so Rochester, Brit is our Rochester worship director, which really means she's also our online worship director because our online services, all those people, they're watching the Rochester stage. So, I just feel like the band is crushing it. You guys are doing a great job. I love the way you change it up. You know, you bring choirs up, different things, stepping back, letting other people. One question, I appreciate all that. One question I had is, do you try to connect in the sermon in any way? Is it totally out of your hands? Does your brother, because your brother is, now what's his title?
I don't know, executive worship? Something?
Executive director of worship. Grand creative
of worship. But is he making the choices for songs, not you?
We all come together as worship directors and plan services. So they're the same for every campus.
I see.
Generally, there's a little bit of wiggle room.
And I imagine, tell me how it works in terms of connecting to the preaching calendar.
We do look at the preaching calendar. Usually, like, the songs before won't necessarily have anything to do with the message, but if we do a song after, we look at sermon notes, what's our takeaway, you know, do we want to have a prayer moment at the end, and how can we, like, connect it to a song at the end?
Yeah.
So usually the song at the end will have more of a connect to what we're talking about.
Yeah, well, what you're doing, I don't know how it all works.
It's not me, it's everyone.
That's good.
Everyone
that's good
picks
to know.
The songs.
But I'm glad to know that you have a voice in it and that it's a team collaborative effort because what you guys put together, I think you've been crushing it for the last few weeks.
Thank you.
So you basically structured this message between Naomi and Ruth, you know, and letting us identify with one or the other. So we'll start with Naomi, which is really the dark part of the tale. And one thing I was thinking about, Britt, you know, is just like, is there room in our worship for more? I mean,
lament.
The mood isn't always the same, right? It's not all rah-rah celebration. And to me, this isn't a rah-rah celebration story with Naomi. And I loved kind of leaning in to just how much Naomi was hurting. But yeah, I'll let you. Any comments there on
as
how
far as
hurting?
Like worship and
does worship tell me? Do you think about
suffering?
I mean, what do you think about what are the different moods in worship? Is it high? Is it low? Is it fast? Slow? Is it reflecting? Is it
all of those things?
Yeah. Try to mix that in.
Well, I think like there's a misconception that like worship is always out of like happiness and joy. I think we find our joy in Christ. And you can worship through suffering. I don't know. That's tough. I think even our upbeat songs, one time my mom was like in a front seat during a really upbeat song. We're like talking about being made alive in Christ. And she's down there crying. So then I'm crying during like the most upbeat song. I think there's some room for lament, but I think as far as like worship and the gathering of believers to worship, it's thanking God still for what he's done despite our circumstances and what he's going to do through our circumstances and our suffering and knowing that he is working everything out for our good and that we can find joy in.
Yep.
Right.
No matter what you're going through.
Yeah. I think you guys do a great job of that, of picking songs that like openly admit the hardship and the pain. You know, the wind may come, the rain may blow, right? Like that's hardship, but it's you I hold on to. So like the one thing that I love about songs and lyrics is you can admit the struggle, but they always point you to the hope. They always, because we, no matter what we face, in every song, we can be reminded of, like Brett said, of Jesus. And there's hope in Jesus no matter what you face and what pain you're dealing with. That's the hope we cling to. And so I think of Man of Sorrows, right, is another song of like hardship, but then hope of Jesus. And so, you know, there's all kinds of songs. There's some upbeat songs that you just want to dance and like, you know, Gone. I think that's one of them. What's the song? I came out of that grave. Or sorry. This is why I preach and not sing, guys.
Yeah. It's on the tip of my tongue too. But but you even quoted, and the story.
Father's House. The story isn't over if the story isn't good.
Thank you. But that's it. And then, but you did.
But that's an upbeat song.
It is.
But last week you did, is it Son of Suffering? What's it called?
Yeah, we did Son of Suffering.
Son of Suffering, is that the title? Okay, and but it has that line in it, there's a God who weeps, there's a God who bleeds. Yeah. That always breaks me every time we sing that, but that's...
Well, I mean, like, we did Praise You Anywhere last week, too. It's like, sometimes you have to dance through the darkness, like, in the lion's den. Like, and if you look at examples of worship in the Bible, too, like... Was it Paul and Silas in the prison?
Yeah, absolutely.
And they can be freed, but they're in there worshiping in their imprisonment.
Yeah. Right.
Like that's...
Not knowing they would be free. Too,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So let me, I'm going to connect this to Naomi.
Yeah.
Okay. So we talk about Naomi. And one thing I loved, Drew, was letting Naomi be honest with God, letting Naomi just express how dark and hard her circumstance was. And you connected to some of the, you know, the Psalms have that mood too. Here's what I was thinking was like, aren't we supposed to, don't we call that spiraling? You know, when someone is just like focusing on that and just getting worse and worse, aren't we supposed to break the spiral? Aren't we supposed to tell them to have an attitude of gratitude, work on their gratitude journal, you know, and just, I mean, isn't that the kind of counsel we offer people in those circumstances?
No, I don't think that is. I think there is a season where people do spiral and we need to snap them out of it. Mm-hmm. But people need time to process, to reflect, to at some level even I call it what you want, vent to God. Like if you think of a, you know, we're always like, I need a safe place to vent. Well, usually people aren't that. God is. Because you're not gonna change God's opinion. You're not gonna convince him to come to your side to complain. And so the safest place to vent is to your Heavenly Father, because you know your venting won't impact him.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes, you know, we choose to vent to other people, which is probably not the best choice. God is a great place. But I think we should be allowed to process, to openly be like, this sucks. This is hard. I don't like this, God. I don't want this, God. Like, and I think there's a season for that. Now, I think if you continue to do that, you need friends in your life to be like, okay, you're digging yourself too deep of a hole. And I'm going to pull you out of it, right? There is time for wise counsel for people to say, okay, you're spiraling now. Like, you've been venting long enough. It's time to see the truth. But I think, you know, here is this woman who's lost her husband and her sons. Like, that takes time to just even process of what your life looks like and navigate the pain.
Yeah.
Right. And, like, in their society, that the loss of security. Like, she didn't just lose her husband and companion and her sons. That's my worst fear, is losing my kids. But it's like losing any stability she had in their society. You know?
Yeah, incredible. Anyone ever tell you to snap out of it, Britt? I mean, at the wrong time.
At the wrong time? Well, we'll just get into it, I guess. I'm on my second marriage. My current husband. But in my first marriage, it was very tumultuous. And I think a lot of the advice I got was just like, well, marriage is for your holiness and not your happiness. And it felt like a lot of people don't want you to feel what you're feeling and be in your mourning. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, marriage is for your holiness. And like, it can be good advice, but mm-hmm. to me, it just felt like, sometimes it feels like you're screaming on deaf ears where no one hears your pain. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously God is there. He hears mm-hmm. you, but to have someone to be able to like bear that burden with you and say, yeah, that's really hard.
Yeah.
That I feel like is important. And that gives people time to mourn and
mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's several proverbs, almost about proverbs, you know, that just say that, you know, the wise man, the wise woman knows what to say, when to say. And there are true things that can be said at the wrong time and right. in the wrong way, but having a sensitivity about that. But
well, that's what I love about Ruth, too. It doesn't seem like Ruth is trying to make things better for Naomi or saying, hey, it's going to be okay. She's just saying, I'm here. I mm-hmm. see your pain and I'm with you, right? I'm going to be with you. Your people are going to be my people. Your God, I'm just committed to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's not trying to like downplay her hurt or her pain. She's not like, get over it. We got to make this. We got to figure it out. So she's like, I'm here for you. And for me, at least in all my moments of pain, having people there, right? I didn't need them to be like, I'm so sorry. This is horrible. I just needed them to hug me. To mm-hmm. hold me, to be present with me, to know when I needed something, I knew who to go to. And I feel like that is the beauty of Ruth in this story mm-hmm. for her mother-in-law, who had no security, stability. Ruth was that for her.
Yeah,
and Ruth is going through her own loss of her husband.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah Ruth is interesting because she is suffering so much herself and yet being a helper.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, you know, later in the story, we're going to find someone step into the story with more resources, but Ruth doesn't have resources. Ruth steps in as a woman, you know, as a widowed woman. Mm-hmm. So bless, she's a foreigner, right? Yeah. You know, she's, you know, doesn't share, Naomi's faith, probably maybe even language. I'm not enough of a scholar to know if they were, you know, these were different languages right. and how big the cultural difference was, but she's a refugee, you know, yeah. they're refugees. I mean, it's just, right. you think about someone with the least voice, least power, you know, and yet was the most amazing friend, you know, to her. And, I'll let you guys think about it because I know I'm blindsiding you with this one, but if it occurs to you, you know, just bring back, you know, any stories of people who'd been Ruth to us, you know, or to you. Were there people who stepped in your, you know, in your hard times, you know, and were Ruth?
Yes. This message actually brought me into like a lot of reflection and just times where I've been a Naomi or a Ruth or an Orpah. Is mm-hmm. it Orpah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I keep wanting to say Oprah, but.
It's fine.
Yeah, so at the end of my divorce, not the end of my divorce, going through my divorce, kind of makes you feel like untouchable, abandoned. I remember at one point telling someone, like, I don't have a future in the church. Like, church is great, but I'll never be able to be a part of that. Wow, I can't believe I'm crying on this podcast. But I felt like my friend Britt Catlin, she works here, she's our communications mm. director. She just was my friend that would show up for me. Mm. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even have to talk to her. She just would sit there and let me cry. Super uncomfortable. I hated it. But it felt really healing that someone was just there for me, not trying to fix my circumstances, mm-hmm. but just showing up in love for mm-hmm. me through a difficult time and being there for me. Mm-hmm. So she would be she's my Ruth.
Oh. What's crazy is like knowing your story, I feel like you and Ruth have a lot in common. Yeah. And, you know, like the journey that you've been on and like the friendships that you experience. And I think even of your husband now, like just the whole, like the mm-hmm. whole ties and connections and mm-hmm. seeing how God has redeemed your story and where you are now is pretty, like, it's kind of like a mirror.
Yeah.
Mirror.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously different circumstances, but yeah. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, thanks so much for sharing, you know, that so transparently. And it happens, you know, to me too. Sometimes you start talking about something and you're just surprised by what it touches and what it reminds you of. But I think a lot of people like listening to this podcast, listening to this sermon, you know, and we talked before in preparing these messages, there really are no villains in the book of Ruth. You know, it's really life that just happens to people. There's no villains. But you know, a lot of us, they might not have, you know, husbands that died young, but many have had, you know, husbands who've left or dads who've left or people who've disappointed or the rest, you know, in other ways. So I think your experience, Britt, a lot of people, you know, will identify with, but I also appreciate, and I hadn't really thought about it, but the way people, the shame and the unworthiness, right? That, you know, that, you know, the lies, you know, that we hear, you know, and the ways, you know, Satan gets a bit of a foothold hold in there and saying, you know, God can't redeem this.
Right.
It's over. So
yeah, that's the beauty of Ruth is I'm sure that's what Naomi felt. Mm-hmm. God can't redeem this.
Yeah.
Right. And it took time, but it's like what Paul says, right? We need to know as Christians that God can redeem anything and everything.
Yeah.
Right. He works all things for our good.
Yeah.
And our good isn't his good and our good. Are, the problem is there's a disconnect there, right? That we need to bridge that gap of like, we want God's good more than our good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why I'm going to just keep talking about my divorce, but I had a moment where I had come to church, going through it and we were singing the resurrecting, what's that song?
Resurrecting King.
And there's that line, the resurrecting King is resurrecting me. By your spirit, I will rise. You know, you're like claiming victory.
Pretty upbeat song.
And I remember just sitting there bawling my eyes out, realizing that my victory was never going to be like the healing of my marriage, but that my victory was that Jesus was like changing my heart and like really softening me. And so I think like in our pain and in our suffering, realizing that our outcome is not going to be this pretty wrapped up bow, even though it ends up being that for Ruth and Naomi, but that God's after our heart and we can find joy in that it's not going to be the way that we want it, but he's made us better and he's changed us for the better and we can find joy in any circumstance. And we can even claim that victory knowing it's going to be coming and it hasn't come yet.
Wow. Well, Drew, I don't know of a better way to end the podcast than that. Brett, thanks so much. I mean, what you came through is blessing other people and all credit to a God who redeems. So, and is resurrecting you, resurrecting me, resurrecting all of us. Well, listen, that's only week one. And there's so much more to the story. And where it's going to point us is going to be amazing. So please keep coming back. Thanks for joining us. Come on back next week for Chapter 2, Week 2, Part 2 of Ruth.